Great. Well, the big question this morning was to colour coordinate or not colour coordinate. So we went for the not this morning, and then I turned up and Ben was in a purple sweater. So, you know, there's something going on here, isn't there? Okay. Hi, everybody. Now, we're starting a little tiny bit late. So we've got about 30 minutes of material. So is it okay if we trot on through that and possibly finish a little bit late? If you need to go get your kids and you need to leave to go and sort your lunch out, then please feel free to do so. Okay, we'll talk really quickly. A really quick introduction, just to set the scene of where we are. Thanks, Jordan. We are living out our faith. And last week, Jonathan and I began looking at living out our faith in the workplace based around the story of Genesis. And this week is the final part of that. We started out by reminding ourselves what it actually meant to live out our faith. So I showed you this slide about our faith being a relationship with Jesus, who is really good, and you should meet him. And about how living out our faith is taking all that we are in our relationship with him and letting it flow through into our everyday lives. And I coined this phrase that it was about us becoming authentic people of integrity. Who we are and what we believe on the inside is who we are on the outside. We become solid people. So I really love that picture of those pillars. That's what we need to be, pillars, solid people in the same on the inside as we are on the outside. And I saw this great thing here about integrity. This is going to be utterly lost on Jonathan because he's colorblind. But I like this.
Nice.
So integrity is where our beliefs, what we believe on the inside, our words and our actions.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Our words and our actions all coincide. We're people of integrity. Now, my husband is a man of integrity. I'm not just saying that because he's my husband, but that's his hallmark at home and at work. And so I've asked him to share some of his stories about living out his faith in the workplace. And many years ago, he heard a prophetic word about being a Joseph in his workplace. So that's why we frame this talk around the principles that we find in the story of Joseph. Much of that story is about Joseph in his work life. And all we want to do this morning is just try and convey to you how important you are in your workplaces, whether that's in offices or at home with children, wherever it is that you're working for the Lord. And it's so vital we live out our faith there. We haven't got all the answers, guys. You're not going to get all the answers this morning, but we want to encourage you if you are in the workplace.
You have to buy the book.
Ooh. Now, Jordan, can you just roll the video? This is a recap of the story of Joseph. There's a really quick recap of the life of Joseph. Yeah, do you want to just get that slide up for me? So last week, we looked at these things. We looked at the Lord being with Joseph and how God is with us in our workplaces and wants to pour out favour on us and blessing through us to the people we work with. We looked at integrity, moral integrity. I liked this, found this. Integrity is choosing your thoughts and actions based on values rather than personal gain. And we looked at that with the story of Joseph, how he could have slept with Potiphar's wife and it would have given him great personal gain. Jonathan talked about a matter of immorality at work, which you all got disappointed about because it wasn't in the same vein at all. But again, where he had...
But everyone knows what TVA now is, don't they?
They'll all have to listen to last week if they weren't there for that. Where he had to choose his actions based on his values, not on personal gain. And we also looked at how we saw our workplace. Did we see it as a jail? And we began to revise our view of that. So this week we're going to look at serving our bosses, sharing our faith, and relating to our work colleagues. So, the first one, serving our bosses. Okay. But that's it, really. Your boss might be nice, he might be nasty. He or she might be a Christian, or not. Hopefully not the middle two, a nasty Christian. But actually, it doesn't matter. Because this is what our mandate is as Christians. And actually, if you remember our River Aims of Community, one of them is love everyone we meet. Now, my mum and dad instilled in me what I think is a great work ethic. They used to tell me, whatever you do, do it properly, do it to the best of your ability, and do it on time. Now, that wasn't to please other people, but that was because they wanted it to reflect what was on the inside. It's back to our identity, our beliefs, and our behaviour. God is honest, he is faithful, he is trustworthy. And I want to be those things and show that in the way I work so that I demonstrate him in everything I do. It's not about following rules. It's about demonstrating the heart and the character of my Father God. And those values, that character, show people God. They show the fruit of the Spirit. We reflect him. Scripture talks about us being Christ's ambassadors. Now, when I thought about Joseph, he was a slave. That was his first job. Slaves couldn't witness. They couldn't talk. They couldn't evangelize. They had to do what they were told. They just served. But the way that Joseph served clearly showed the Lord in all he did and made an impact on his boss. Because we read, now his master saw that the Lord was with him. Ben touched on this earlier. But this is a great scripture to guide us. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. That's quite challenging, isn't it? And you know, I think we need to let our daily work be an offering to the Lord, something that brings glory to him. We have this divide in our heads between the secular and the spiritual, but actually there isn't really one. And I heard a speaker say, whenever we give an offering to the Lord, just like in the Bible, fire comes down on it. And in the Bible, fire was the presence of God. It was representative of God's presence. If you think about the pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness, when we give our offering to the Lord, his presence comes down on it. So when we do our work as an offering to God, his presence comes down on it and people see him with you.
So, that was about a bit like Motorhead in 1982 or something, wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry, Jordan. So for me, it's really important that I'm the same person. Everyone at work calls me JD, as Matthew will know. And for me, it's really important that when I'm at home, I'm the same person that I am at work. And when I'm in board meetings and with my team, that actually I'm the same person wherever you go. So when people at work come home, they see exactly the same person. They don't see anyone different. I'm comfortable in who I am. I know that God's put me in the right place at the moment. So actually I don't need to compete with the egos that are around at work and believe me, I work with some pretty big egos where I am, and actually if I was trying to compete with them, I probably wouldn't have a hope anyway. But because I'm comfortable in who I am and what God's put me there to do, actually I'm content in doing that. So that integrity piece that Kerry's already talked about is really important. In the people that I deal with, I kind of feel a bit like the reason I've had a long career where I've been at the moment is people confide in me. So actually they know that in this sort of gossipy culture that happens in every workplace, when we share things together, actually it stays between the two of us and I don't go around telling other people about what's going on in those situations. And they know that when they confide in me, it stays with us. And actually, I think a lot of them know that I do pray about the stuff that they tell me as well, because we talk about that sometimes. In terms of specific things that I'm doing at the moment, there is there's certainly a couple of directors that I work with where they are having some communication challenges, let's put it like that, where actually they seem to always be talking at cross purposes. And actually, I really feel over the last 2 or 3 months, one of the things God's been putting me in a position to do is actually to facilitate that communication process between the two of them. And actually, things are a lot better now than they have been over probably in the autumn of last year. And there's still that tension's there, but actually, that's part of my role to facilitate that. One of the phrases that we have at work is that my job and a lot of other people's jobs is to make my boss look good. So if I'm doing my job well, actually my boss looks like he's doing a good job as well. And there's a certain degree of humility about that, actually, that you have to be able to be content to stay with that and see that role, because obviously you don't get any reward for doing that. But for me, going back to the Joseph story as well, it says in chapter 40, 23, and it's when the cupbearer goes back to the palace, actually it says that he didn't give Joseph another thought after he gave him that prophetic word about what was going to happen, and he just forgot about him, and Joseph was left down there having done the business. So for me, it's a very similar thing.
So that's a few thoughts on serving our bosses, but it's really important who we are, and that who we are on the inside is what comes out as we serve our bosses. And that's also what needs to come out with sharing our faith. Now, we often feel it can be a bit like this, can't we? Back to the video clip we had at the start. But you know, this is where our identity on the inside really kicks in. Christ is in us. Christ is in you. We carry God. We bring peace into situations. We carry the light of the world into our workplaces. And you don't put a light in a light room. You put a light in a dark room because that's where it's needed. So we're salt as well that seasons the environment that we're in. And we change the atmosphere. We do. We change the atmosphere. The message tells us this in 2 Corinthians. Through us, He, that's God, brings the knowledge of Christ. Through us, he brings the knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Isn't that amazing? Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma fragrant with life. Now, whether we feel that or not, that is absolutely true of every one of us. And we need to be intentionally aware of that every day as we walk in through the door of our workplace, regardless of whether we feel it or not. And I literally, even though I don't have a proper job, I literally every day intentionally remind myself of that's who I am. Because even though I have this job, I don't feel happy and holy all the time, guys. A lot of the time I don't feel at all happy or holy. But I have to intentionally remind myself, I carry Christ in me. I carry the fragrance of Jesus. When I go into that situation with those people, it's going to change because God is in me. And you do that with your workplaces. Joseph actually maintained his faith as one of God's chosen people in a foreign land and in jail for many, many years. And it was his faith that shaped him, not his surroundings. That's a real challenge for us at work. Joseph's faith in God, in jail and when everything was going wrong, were what shaped his walk. And he was the head and not the tail. He influenced his workplaces as a slave, working for the jailer, working for Pharaoh. He influenced those workplaces and not the other way around. And one of the big things we need to do is to maintain a consistent faith walk with Jesus on our own as our sure foundation. Then when we have an opportunity to share something at work, it's there, ready.
That's what I was going to say. So yeah, so that is really important. So for me, that consistent walk with Jesus is critical. There are the ups and downs of life, aren't there, that go through. And Joseph was certainly in that position when he got chucked in jail and didn't get to go back up to Pharaoh's palace after he prophesied. He could easily get a downer, not be happy. God's let me down, and have a bit of a moan and misery about it in that place. So for me, it's really important that I keep my spiritual awareness active and doing all the groundwork, because actually God puts those opportunities before me with everybody that I work with and who I meet, and you don't quite know when those opportunities are going to arise. And actually, to make the most of those opportunities when they arise, you have to be cooking on gas to be able to do that. Most of the people that I work with are not faith-based. They don't go to church. They don't get any sort of services at the weekend. So actually, when those opportunities arise, you need to be ready to give that answer. So it was funny, actually, on Friday, I was talking to one of our MDs, and he was doing what you're doing at the weekend stuff. And he said to me, I would never go to church. He said the holy water would boil if I walked into church. So he's a bit of a lad, but there you go. So for me, it's really important that you put the time and effort in. And I know from my experience that there have been times when I haven't been that consistent and I've missed opportunities with people. So it's not been plain sailing for me. But when you see those opportunities that might be for people that are not around faith-based people and church, when they have that opportunity and ask those things, it's you need to be there to give it. So and the other thing is, you don't need to be very spiritual about some of those things. It says again, Joseph says to them when they came down into jail, what's wrong? Why have you got long faces? So you know the usual platitudes about how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. You fine? Yeah, yeah, at work. Actually, it's a bit like if someone's got a broken arm, or ask them how they did that, or be a bit more, you don't have to be getting a word of knowledge from the Lord for those sort of things, do you? So for me, just to ask those obvious questions as well to people is really good. For me, part of that faith thing is actually using my faith as a tool at work. So just to give a couple of examples, I had a difficult HR situation last year where a manager of a team there was an accusation of bullying with one of their team members. And this was just before it went like proper disciplinary process. So it was going to be the last sort of informal meet. And just as I was going to kind of chair this conversation, I really felt the Holy Spirit say, you should pray before the meeting starts, and obviously ask the people if that's okay, because neither of them are Christians or have any faith. And so I explained why I was going to do it, because, there's a bit of a story about Jesus and reconciliation and becoming friends and everything. And then they said, yeah, it's fine, you can pray for us before we started. So it was really good to do that to start with. And actually, they didn't come up and kiss on makeup at the end of it, but actually it resolved the issues that were there, and it didn't go any further into a more formal process. So that was really positive for me. And the other thing, actually quite a few years ago, I had a guy in my team who's actually from Moscow, and his parents were his father was in hospital, and the medical system was pretty poor there, and it was just spending time with him. So we had probably two or three afternoons when we went and booked a meeting room and we just chatted. He needed somebody to share with. He had no family here. And we prayed together about his family situation back in Moscow, because he was really struggling with it. It was really hard. And actually just praying for him and being a friend to him was really positive for him. He learned a lot about God in that.
So that leads into relating to our work colleagues. It's all part and parcel of the same thing. As we share our faith with them, we learn how to relate to them. And they may be nice or... See, it's given up on me again. It does it every week. It doesn't like me. They may be mean. They may be nice. They may be easy to get on with, or they may be total pains. But our work colleagues are people. And they're people who are lost, and they need Jesus. Even if they don't know it, even if they don't feel it, and even if they don't give off those vibes. And we just need to be the people who love them, who are interested in them beyond the work that we're doing, just like Jonathan was sharing. The people who show care for them, who respect them, and yet we're true to ourselves and who we are in God. Back to being authentic people of integrity again.
So just, I've got a couple of more examples to talk about. The first one is, I think that you need a sense of humour when you're at work, and don't take yourself too seriously. So for me, it was really funny. We went out for the usual Christmas do before Christmas, and had dinner together as a management team. And the wine waiter was struggling on our choices of wine because we drank quite a lot of a particular type of wine, and it was finished. And
you didn't, of course.
No, of course not. And the little conversation was buzzing. There was about a dozen of us around the table, and they were saying, actually, it doesn't matter if that wine's run out. JD knows someone who can sort that out for us, doesn't he? And actually, a few years ago, I would have got really intimidated by that sort of thing, because I thought they were having a bit of a pop and everything like that about me and my faith. But actually, it's a really good-natured banter now, where actually the guys understand me and know me. And actually, there was part of me that kind of quite wanted them for it to run out to see what was going to happen. Because I don't know about you, but I'd never seen any water change into wine. And I don't know if you prayed for it, it would actually happen. But it would be pretty cool if it did happen, wouldn't it, around a management dinner at the Paley Street. So that was good. Another part of it with the guys I work with is I've always had a really strong mentoring and a father thing. So there's a certain irony, because the guys that were here last week listening, I was talking about how I didn't get my ACA qualification. And actually, all the guys that I've worked with, we have a rolling program of guys that do their accountancy exams. And for me, it's been amazing to see those guys over the years. There's probably half a dozen of them now who've started off at the beginning, done their exams, and finished that. And it's kind of celebrating with them in that process where I haven't actually got to. And it's, you know, I said last week there was a bit of a, you know, there's always a bit of a stab type thing when I have to tell people that I don't have that qualification, because there's always that tick box and everything. So it's really great. But then actually, in the bigger picture as well, as an organization, we've been developing an NVQ qualification for students in business enterprise. So now actually that mentoring thing and fathering thing has gone broader than just the guys I work with in my team. But actually, I think this September we had 35 FE colleges around the country who are now delivering that curriculum to guys that want to go in at 16 and 17 to basically learn about running a business. And part of the whole curriculum is that by the time you finish it, you're running your own business, and the idea is that's what you move into. So that's been really good to be a part of that development over the last 3 or 4 years. And the last part is that I was going to say is kind of quite poignant for me. It's the best part and the most painful part of my job, as you share your lives together with people at work. And for some unknown reason, I don't know, I am surrounded by people at work who can't have children. And journeying with them through the last probably 5 or 6 years about that whole process, about what they do about it, how they go through IVF. And I have a very small sense of how that works, because when our son Ryan died, when the immediate aftermath, the doctors thought there was a genetic thing going on, which meant we wouldn't actually be able to have children. So I have a very small sense of the understanding of what that was for Kerry and I, and obviously that's not something with Jordan sitting over there that we ever had to deal with longer term. But I had, there are two guys I'm going to talk about. One is about 4 years ago, I gave him a prophetic word at work that his wife was going to conceive. And I didn't really know too much about their background other than they didn't have kids and, you know, they were getting a bit older. And I didn't understand where they were up to. And he told me about 2 weeks later that his wife had conceived through IVF, which obviously was really amazing. But about 5 weeks after that, she actually lost the baby. And for me, that's really hard because this is a guy I've known for 12 years and I go to work with him every day. And when things like that happen, it's really hard because it's not like you don't know these people. You have to walk that journey with them. And, you know, I kind of feel I did what God asked me to do. I gave him that word. And, you know, what's God done with that, really? And it was great joy, and it's a really hard thing to walk through. He's made some positive things. He's identified in the aftermath of that about he wasn't such a nice person, and he's made some personal changes in his life, which is good, and that's great. But I'm sure he would have preferred to have children, and they haven't had any more efforts with IVF. And currently, I've got a guy that I'm working with, and they're having their fifth round of IVF at the moment. And they're waiting to hear tomorrow what's going to happen. His wife is actually pregnant at the moment, and she'll have her 9-week scan tomorrow. So if you have a moment's thought between now and lunchtime tomorrow, it'd be really great if you could just ask God if that could work, because they're not at all hopeful. And when you hear their journey about how it is with their friends and the fact that they are... all the people they've known have all kind of disowned them because they've all got kids and they can't compete in that same space anymore. It's really difficult. So if you've got a little moment to think about that, I'd really appreciate that. I went off a bit track there, didn't I? So I've got a pointing finger saying that's where I should be going.
They're worrying about their lunch.
Yeah.
They're worrying about their lunch.
We're only up to 25 minutes. It's fine. Have you got more to say? No.
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, my job at work is about pointing people to God. So all the people I come across at work, all the teams, the management teams, the boards that I sit on, it's about when I engage with them, it's about pointing them to God. That's why I believe I'm going to be there. And we've talked a little bit, Kerry and I, about when you go to interview, people ask you this question: what would your colleagues at your old company, how would they describe you? And I kind of hope for me, they'd kind of say, yeah, he was good at numbers and he could add up, and that was all right.
When he had a calculator,
yeah. But actually, there was something about the presence that he brought that actually, when he's not there, it's not the same, it's not as fun. And that's strange, being in a finance department as well, being fun. But actually, there was something different when I was there, that when I'm not there, it's not the same. And actually, that's not me bringing that presence. That's Jesus bringing that presence into the workplace. And they all see that. That's why we can make a joke about turning water into wine. There you go.
Just as we draw this to a close for you, I want to take you right back to the beginning of the story of Joseph. And if you remember, he has two dreams that his family will bow down to him. And those are, in fact, fulfilled at the end of his life, as he's effectively ruling Egypt and granting food to his starving family, who bow at his feet, not realizing who he is. And there is, in fact, a dramatic reconciliation between them. But that was planted right back as a 17-year-old or earlier boy, where he had those dreams from God. He was a young man, and that showed that his life had destiny. And his destiny was as a ruler. And Joseph fulfilled that destiny by staying faithful to God, by making the right choices, and by living out his faith. And you know, guys, our lives have that destiny as rulers too. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that makes us rulers and royalty as well. Our identity is as those ambassadors of the Kingdom of God, with God living within us. Yeah, go on, Jordan. Scripture tells us this in Peter: you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are rulers in our workplaces, in our lives, in the kingdom realm, just as Joseph was. That identity is within us. So we need to believe that. What we believe comes out in our behavior and behave like it. We need to be imitators of God walking in love. That's what Ephesians tells us. Be imitators of God walking in love. Now, Joseph was a type of Christ. He was a type of Jesus. His story has real mirrors in the life of Jesus. He was loved by his father, hated and rejected by his brothers, rejected as a ruler. People conspired against him, sold him for silver, just like Jesus. He was condemned, although innocent, and went to jail, just as Jesus was condemned, although innocent. And in the end, he was raised from that place to a place of glory by God. And he saved a people. Joseph saved the nation of Egypt and the fledgling nation of Israel through his family, just as Jesus has saved us. Now, we are Christians, and that word means little Christ. So our goal is to be Jesus in our everyday lives, in our workplaces, people of integrity, of faithfulness, of forgiveness, who bring reconciliation and peace, and who meet people's needs. You know, the atmosphere should be different when we're around. Joseph's family were pretty rubbish. They hated him. They tried to kill him. His brothers' personal lives were a complete mess. They sinned against God. But God saved their lives miraculously through Joseph. That's how much God loved them. God wants to save the people around you in your workplaces who've messed up and who are far from them. And my challenge, our challenge to you this morning is, will you be a Joseph? And will you enable that to happen wherever you are and wherever you go? Just two things for you to take away and think about. Jonathan mentioned that thing that you ask at interviews, and I've been asking it at interviews recently. How would your work colleagues and your managers describe you? What mark do you leave on people's lives? That's something to really ponder and really resolve in our hearts, to be people who take the kingdom of God in with us into our workplaces. And just one challenge for you. Why don't you take two people at your workplace and begin to pray for them? Begin to pray consistently for them, that you might have an opportunity to impact their lives. Who knows what God will do with you as you are a Joseph in your workplace?